comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet. Thanks for being here. It's the talk show that's like no other talk show on the planet. You're in good company here, and you matter, and I am delighted you're here. I think you will be, too. Well, let's start out with K-Files. Now, that's our free weekly newsletter, and let me encourage those of you who are not subscribed to be sure you go over to kevinsmithshow.com and click on the link for K-Files and subscribe. Now, having said that, it's free, all right, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. But having said that, you know, this past weekend was a weekend of very high strangeness, and the K-Files was included in the very high strangeness. We were blocked from sending the K-Files. Now, people hear things like that and sometimes jump to conclusions. Oh, well, you got blocked because somebody said you were spamming. Or look, this is a double opt-in mail list. That means you subscribe and then you get an email from us that has a confirmation link that you have to click in order to confirm that you really did intend to subscribe. And this email list and this K-Files has been going out for 10 years. All right, so there's no all that stuff about spam and all that. There's none of that there. Okay. But we were blocked, and we have about five different ways that we can send the K-Files. All five were blocked. I could not send the K-Files. I at one point got around the block, and we got about 110 of the K-Files sent out, and that was it, out of thousands. About 110 of you got the K-Files. So we're working on that, and we're trying to find a way around that. I don't know why it's blocked, and our server says it's not blocked. Okay, our host company, I've been on the phone with them and online chat with them both, and talked to three different people at three different times over the weekend, and they say it's not blocked there. They don't know what the deal is. So that's part of the high strangeness. We don't know what it is. What I've done is this last week's edition of the K-Files is online, and you can view it online. It's the best I can do for you right now. Look at my website, scroll down, and you'll get down to the bottom there where there's some articles, you know, about different things. The very first one says K-Files prohibited but online, and there's a link in that article, a little paragraph, and there's a link there. And if you click that link, then you can see this last edition of the K-Files. We really did produce one, and we really did try to send it out. Wait till you hear the rest of what was going on. We'll be back. We'll be right back. Okay, tonight we're going to start off with a story of very high strangeness here at the Kevin Smith Show. And this is a very true story, and it's one that I want to share it with you because sometimes there are folks who, you know, they hear things that we talk about, and in their minds, I mean, it registers, but, you know, it's kind of like very distant from anything they associate with reality. On Friday, this past week, my guest was Jerry Wills. Now, the within 24 hours or so before the show, Jerry had been on a international broadcast on internet television and had been telling his story. And his story is a story of not being from this planet. Now, whether you believe Jerry or don't believe Jerry, you buy the story, you don't buy the story, that's beside the point. The point is, he had been sharing his story, and a lot of people were very aware of it. And then on Friday night, Jerry was to be my guest. I was on the telephone with Jerry shortly before showtime. In fact, we hung up. We had been talking and we hung up about, I don't know, 5 minutes or so before the show. Crystal clear connection. Crystal clear. When it came time to have Jerry join me on the air, what we do is during that first commercial break, the one we just did, during that first break, that's when we call the guest and get them ready to go. And the reason is because during that first 5 minutes, I'm talking about things related to the show. My affiliates, some of the affiliate stations are AM stations and FM stations, and during that first 5 minutes, they're doing the news. So there's no reason to have the guest sitting on hold during that period of time, and we call them during the break. And I couldn't get Jerry. I called, and it would ring two or three times, and then it would stop ringing because someone would answer. Only there was no one there. We couldn't hear anybody. At one point, I did hear Jerry say, "Hello," and I answered, and he said, "Hello, hello." He couldn't hear me. A total of 12 times, we called, and we could not get Jerry on the line. So I started the show by telling you that and hoping that Jerry would find some way to get through to us. And he did. What he did was called us from a computer and called into the studio, and we put him on the air. And, of course, there were audio problems with that all the way through the show. Just because it was a weird connection and other things were happening. After the show, I did exactly what I always do. After the show, the first thing I do is I take the captured video file of the show and I upload it so that our members can have it for, you know, watch latest show. And then I go to the other computer and I start editing the audio that was captured, and we upload that for listen to latest show. And what we do is we cut all the commercial breaks out of it and turn it into a podcast format and upload it to the site. About a minute after I finished uploading the video, which I started that immediately at the end of the show, about a minute after it uploaded, the computer screen on that computer went blank, and then the computer rebooted. About halfway through the boot process, it went blank, and then it started rebooting again, and it went this way over and over and over. I couldn't break it out of its cycle. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, there's something corrupted with the Windows files, and it's never going to boot up again with that hard drive. And so I put another hard drive in, and I thought, okay, I'll load Windows onto that, and then we'll transfer the files and blah, blah, blah. It would not allow me to load up Windows. It would not allow me to install Windows. So I tried another hard drive. Same thing. Wouldn't allow anything to be loaded. Now, there may be something wrong, something burned out in the computer. That's a possibility. But not likely, because it does boot up to a point and then recycles. Now, I run a firewall. I run very strong antivirus. So I know about all those things, and none of those things appear to be the situation. I've never seen anything quite like this. So what had to happen was I had to get another computer. Now, let me ask you, have you ever built one? Have you ever built a computer? Well, to do what I do with a computer here, the TV channel, the video channel, to do what I do, you really can't buy one off the shelf. You can get by with it for a little while. But it's too intense, and it runs 24/7. Doing video editing and processing, the live shows, and it's intense. And so I had to go buy the component parts and get it put together on Saturday. And late Saturday afternoon, early Saturday evening, it was done, and then I had to load Windows, and then I had to load drivers, and then I had to start loading software, and configuring all that software, and then transferring all the files and so forth. All right. Now, is all of that coincidence? Well, I called Jerry, and I asked him, I told him what had happened, and I asked him if he had ever heard of something like that before, and he said, no, but you know, that's very, very weird. And he had something to say about it. Jerry, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here, Kevin.
All right. Jerry is the other side of this story. Jerry, why don't you tell us what you told me about what happened to you?
The appointed time when you were going to give me a call, the strangest thing happened. I have an iPhone, and it seems to work flawlessly 100% of the time. But this particular night, the strangest thing happened. It flashed a few times, and then it just went dead. It came back on again by itself. The next thing you know, I'm getting a call from you. And I answered, but I couldn't hear you. So I did everything I could think of. I had to reboot it. I rebooted it a few times. Nothing was working. The phone basically just fried out. And it took quite a bit to quickly throw things together so that I could get back in touch with you. Simultaneous to this, the lights, I was sitting outside, and there are lights outside in the trees where I was at in this private home. The lights in the trees blinked off and on a few times, like someone was playing with the light switch. That light switch is in our hostess's bedroom, and she wasn't in there. No one was in there. The lights of the house didn't flicker, just the lights outside. And it was just a real mess trying to get the phones to work. At that point, I wasn't sure what to do. Internet connections went down. There wasn't any internet at all. And it was just quite a mess. I wasn't sure what had happened. And then, just as strangely as it all began, next thing you know, the internet came back up. phone started working in the house, and the cell phone started working, and had no trouble getting in touch with you. The whole thing lasted probably, I think it was like 10 minutes from the time you tried calling me until I finally got a hold of you. So it was, it was just a strange series of events, and, the phone's been acting a little strange ever since.
All right. Did you have to do anything to your telephone to get it to work again? Did you have to reload software or anything like that?
That's the thing. There just really isn't anything you can do. In an iPhone, you can't take out the battery. And when you, when you have a problem like this, you think, well, I'll just turn it off and then turn it back on. It wouldn't turn off. It would just flash a few times. There wasn't any turning it off and on. Finally, after all was said and done, it turned itself off. And then I had to turn it on with a little button on top, and it started working. Just, the strangest thing. I've never seen anything like this before.
Well, that's what I was about to ask you. If the telephone had ever done anything like this previously, I just find it to be a little bit beyond coincidental that you were having very similar kinds of problems with your telephone that I was having with the computer, and you were over 1,000 miles away from where I'm sitting, and it just happens that these problems begin all at the same time. Now, one of the things that it's difficult to explain where folks can really understand this, but if we're getting hit like we used to, we would get, Jerry, where we used to be there in Phoenix, on our cable connection, we would get a signal coming up the cable, it was only for internet. We would get a signal coming, transmitting up the cable, interfering with what we were trying to transmit down the cable. And sometimes it was so strong that our audience could hear it, and sometimes it would be a radio station, sometimes it would be a television station, and that, of course, is the wonderful Cox Cabal, cable. And absolutely the most worthless cable company I've ever done business with. But anyway, we used to get that, and I can see on my screen over here, I've got a little monitor, and I can see when we're getting interfered with. And I could see that we were getting intermittent interference on the phone line, and as we were trying to talk with you. At one point, I did get in touch with you. You may remember this. And I said, it sounds like Morse code in the background.
Right, I remember you mentioning that to me. I didn't have anything like that on my end, but I wasn't able to receive anything. I couldn't hear you at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was very high strangeness. Thanks, by the way, to one of our very dedicated listeners. I had the financial backing I needed to be able to buy the components and get a computer put together that is all focused on video production and video broadcasting, and it's very good, and we should be getting a good signal out there tonight. I hope so. I've seen a lot of stuff over the past 10 years, and I've seen when the problem originates in the computer, and I've seen when the problem is originating out there, in the great beyond. Well, this one I'd never seen before. I'd never seen anything like this one before, and whatever it is took the computer out. It didn't just take it down, it took it out. At the same time, as I'm seeing interference, you're having interference on your telephone more than 1,000 miles away. And not only that, you're having this phenomena of the lights flickering around you at the exact same time, and the internet connection's going down. I wonder, Jerry, you had just been on international television telling your story about not being from this planet. And I wonder if the fact that you were about to be on this show and be international again in 143 countries played any role in the strangeness that we experienced. I wonder. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it could be. It is. It's very hard to say for sure what the deal is on this. It is a very high strangeness sort of thing. And from, you know, just gauging from the emails and other messages, emails and Facebook really are where everything's coming in, and then there have been a few phone calls of everyone that's contacted me supporting the fact that I've disclosed this information. And there have been several who have written to say that they've checked their birth certificates and there's something, you know, that's completely off or wrong with them. Maybe I've kind of opened a bit of a Pandora's box for those who would rather have this information kept silent and not really be out there made public. You know, it was quite a stretch for me to feel comfortable going on your show after having also gone on this other show and relating this information, because it's material that I've just kept, you know, to myself for a very long time. And, you know, there are, I'm sure, people who think, you know, what's the agenda? What's the purpose behind them?
Jerry, we have to step away for a moment for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And Jerry, let me point out something before we jump back into what we were discussing. I didn't advertise on the site that you were going to be on with me tonight because I wanted to be sure that we could get through to you on the telephone. And so I didn't put your picture up. I didn't say you were going to be with me. And of course, I you and I had discussed this. But I didn't want to give anybody any lead time or notice that we were going to be talking about this. And so far, so good. Okay, you were saying that you felt a little bit uncomfortable, a little apprehensive about being on the show with me Friday, because you had just made all of this public in an international television broadcast. And here we were going international again within, I don't know, 24, 48 hours, something like that. And you've gotten a lot of interesting email, rather supportive, I think, of what you had to say, both in the TV show and then here at the Kevin Smith Show. I also have received email from people who said things like, wow, that was the best show ever. This one was way over the top. And they said it and meant it in a positive way. Of course, I get my weekly obligatory, your show is failing, and you know, here's why, and I'll be glad when you're off the air. But I always get one of those every week. And if I didn't get that, I would fear that we had missed our mark somewhere. But I got lots of positive email. So this is something that people have received well. And, you know, they found it to be very interesting and compelling information. But I'll tell you something. You know Bob Dean, right?
Yes.
Bob Dean has made comments in some of his lectures and during his question and answer sessions after his lectures. He has made comments before that the so-called powers that be are absolutely terrified of the extraterrestrials that look just like the rest of the people on this planet. And they're terrified because there's no way for them to protect themselves from being their organizations from being infiltrated by these extraterrestrials because they look just like everyone else. And he has said that they it really scares them and they're quite concerned about it. And that's the reason I asked if you thought that maybe because of the nature of what you were talking about, and everybody knew what you were going to talk about, certainly any powers that be, if they really exist, I think they're powers that want to be, but certainly they knew what you were going to be talking about. So I just wondered, you know, out loud, if it's possible that that was the connection to why you experienced what I experienced more than 1,000 miles separated from each other. It had to be pretty good high tech to do that.
Yeah, well, I agree. It had to be pretty high tech. It had to be pretty sophisticated. But yeah, you know, you're right. And Bob has said that, and he and I have sat and had talks over the years. I haven't seen Bob in quite a while, but when the occasion came up that I had a chance to visit with him, he and I felt he was always a good friend, and that, you know, the conversations we had sometimes went in this direction. And probably because, you know, at times I would ask these questions because I wanted to find out how open or responsive he would be to information of this nature. And this is exactly the same thing that he told me, that he's obviously mentioned to you, at least during the show, that the powers that be are very concerned about the prospect that there are extraterrestrials here that look just like people. The sad thing is, the ones who don't look like people are the ones they should really be the most concerned about, in my opinion. I don't think that there are any people here that that look like everyone else walking down the street that they have to be that concerned with. I think there are enough people who look like humans who are in the world who offer enough of a challenge as it is. So, anyway, I was apprehensive. I was a little concerned about it because, you know, it could go either direction.
Well, now that you've done it, you did it on international television, you did it on an international radio show, and now that you've done it and have been through the high strangeness that was associated with doing it on my show, how do you feel about it?
I feel fine. You know, it'll either be all right or it won't, and either way, it has to be all right. I kind of have an open mind about, you know, all of this. It definitely has so far been an experience that seems to have been empowering to others who felt that they had something of high strangeness in their lives as well. And if my my idea that telling my story might help someone else understand the circumstances of their life has actually come to pass, then good. It served a great purpose.
Have you gotten any negative response?
No. There has not been one comment that was negative. Everything was encouraging and kind and considerate. I haven't received anything negative. Doesn't mean I won't, you know, it might happen. But, you know, so far, I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of messages. I still have so many to go through. Today we drove south from Rhode Island down into New Jersey as we're heading further south, and I was trying to catch up on reading the emails, and just one after another, just hundreds of emails, short one-liners or short paragraphs. Thank you so much for what you've done. It's allowed me to feel that there isn't anything wrong with me, that I finally can be myself. You know, there are just hundreds of these, and it's really encouraging when you step back and look at it and figure that maybe what you've done has helped others. You know, what I do with healing, I'm doing my best to help people who are without hope, who feel, you know, they have no other recourse but to live with the pain that they have. And just by manipulating the energy, by focusing in and doing something to help another person, I'm relieving them in a way that's a very physical manifestation of help. This seems to have taken a curve, and it's also helping those who have an emotional or a spiritual void that can't be filled without a piece of information, so that their mind intellectually can make sense of events in their lives that otherwise make no sense at all. And with what I've done, it seems I've helped those folks. So I feel pretty good about that.
I'll tell you, there is another big message in all of this. It's unspoken, but quite obvious. If these very strange and very pernicious technological battles that we had to go through to do the show Friday night and then to be back on the air again tonight. Listen, it's been a race against the clock to get everything put together, all the software installed, all the software configured, tested out, everything working. It's been a race against the clock, I can tell you. But assuming that all of that was done and not, it was designed and it was implemented, assuming that, and assuming it was not just coincidence that it happened here and it happened to you over 1,000 miles away, then there's a big message, and that is this: they tried, and they tried harder than has ever been tried against us before, and we still got the show out, we still got the message out, and people still heard it.
Well, you know, you want to hear a funny story, Kevin?
Sure.
There have been times that I've spoken at UFO conventions, and I didn't relate this particular aspect of information, but I related my information of having contacts. There were times when I would hear people talking, and the things that they were talking about made no sense at all. It was almost like, you know, fantasy land. So I decided that I would come forward and I would tell what I knew, not because I was trying to convince anyone of anything, but just to offer at least a piece of information so I personally would know that there was information out there that had some validity, because it was based on my observations and it was my truthful effort to provide detail. On several occasions, I've been warned that I needed to be quiet, stop talking, don't do this. And these guys were what you call the men in black. and they would come to me, and they would basically say that I really just needed to leave. And on every occasion, I walked up to them, and I said, why don't you do your best and try to stop me? I want to see exactly how far you'll go. Because, and I would say this to them, because I know that you can't do anything to stop me. You can only give me a reason to be afraid, and I'm not afraid of you. Well, that really threw them into a bit of a spin. There have been times when I helped a friend who had radiation burns in his wrist that was done by extraterrestrials who were trying to stop him. And these grays, the short guys, showed up, tried to do the mind tricks on me, and tried to get me to leave my friend alone, saying he belongs to us. And I just looked at him and I said, no, he belongs to God. He's my friend, and you don't touch him. Because if you do, you're touching me. I was warned one time about going on a radio show. This is back years ago. Warned that I shouldn't go on and tell my story, you know, about my experiences with UFOs and sightings and such. And I told them, no, why don't you see what you can do to stop me? And I walked into the radio station. Within 5 minutes of going on the air, the transmitter blew up. The big tube. There's a big big tube just burst into flames.
Okay, Jerry, we have to step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my unannounced guest, Jerry Wills. We're talking about the very weird stuff that happened related to his appearance on this show on Friday. Very expensive stuff happened, but not quite as expensive as what you were telling us about, Jerry. These transmitters in radio stations have a they've got a very large vacuum tube in them, and that's you got to have that in order to transmit, and they run into the multiple tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, they're like, you know, $90,000 for one of these tubes.
Yeah, they're water cooled. They're just expensive.
And you said it it just fried down, huh?
It just fried. I'll never forget it. I was sitting there, and the guy asked me a question. I started talking, and he just got this look in his face. Engineer was behind me, and I saw the guy waving his arms in one of the windows. And I finished, and I just waited in silence. I said, "So, how about that?" And he says, "Yeah, well, it's no big deal. Radio station's dead in the water. The tube, whatever the tube's called." He said, "The tube just exploded, and the radio station's off the air. We won't have it back up for at least another week, so we have to order another tube in here." And that was that. And I'll never forget it, because the person who'd called in was a guy who was asking questions about the men in black. "Have you ever been threatened by the men in black?" And I said, "Yes, I have." And I told them, "Go ahead, do the best you can. See if you can stop me. You can't keep me quiet." And that was the last thing that was heard.
They couldn't keep you quiet, but they kept others from hearing. And that's, it can be done. It can be done. But I'll tell you, there was... I know that there are people that are going to say that what happened to me here and what happened to you more than 1,000 miles away simultaneously is all coincidence. And, okay, maybe it is. Maybe it is. And maybe the moon is green cheese. But I don't think it was coincidence. And provided it was not coincidence, they put in a yeoman effort to keep your story from getting out there. But we got it out there. And it was expensive, but we got it out there. And people have heard it. It's been up on the site where people could hear it and watch it all weekend. And it's out there now. It's all around the world. And that sort of dovetails into something that's happening in Europe right now. An Italian politician has made a proposal to the European Union, and they have to vote on it. And he has proposed that, in keeping with international law and their principles of transparency, so that every citizen of the European Union knows what's going on with their government, they should pass this this law that this is his proposal. They should make it law that every nation of the European Union must disclose their UFO files. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Now, certainly the United States will lean on the European Union to keep that from happening. I absolutely am sure that will happen. There will be pressures put on them to keep them from passing that law. But in this case, it's right out in the sunshine. Press all over the world is reporting about his proposal. And so they're going to have to vote on it out in the sunshine. And just having the United States pressuring them to say, no, we're not going to do this, could be enough to make them say, to heck with this, we are going to do it. And so we may see some rather profound UFO disclosure out of the European Union pretty soon.
I think that would be a good thing. That would be a very good thing. Because I think what would happen is that not only would it be made obvious, be made as a part of public record, that there are people here who didn't originate here, who weren't born here on this world, but it would also make very obvious that there are those here who were not born on this world and who are not here in the best interests of humankind.
Yes.
Humankind, let's say. And that's the point that I think keeps all of this under wraps, because as soon as that's known, it's going to be something that's going to really upset the apple cart for those who are working so hard to try to maintain control over this world.
Well, you know, I had this conversation with someone today who's one of our listeners, and actually someone who lives in New York. And he was not really hopeful that there would be disclosure out of this. I can't say that I am, but I'm somewhat hopeful. But I made this statement to him. I'll make it here. If there is UFO disclosure out of Europe, out of the European Union, I still do not think there will be a peep out of the U.S. government. I think the secret keepers here are going to lie about this right down to their last dying breath.
I think so, too. I don't think that a proper strategy for maintaining, you know, power and control incorporates the admission that, one, you've been posturing the public with lies for decades, and two, there is another power who is far superior to your own. That seems counterproductive, you know, in a strategic way. But I think it's something that would make a lot of sense to people who are out there who have seen UFOs, who've seen them close, not little lights in the sky, but actually seen them close, and who have been made a fool of because they simply told the truth about what they saw.
Well, you know, the people that have something to answer for, the people who have knowingly lied to the public about this, people who have knowingly destroyed other people's lives over this, they're not all in the government. A great many of them are sitting in front of network TV news cameras every night, and they've got a lot to answer for because they know. There's no possibility that these people in the mainstream media do not know. They know, and they're making conscious choices to ridicule and to lie, in my opinion. That's my opinion of it. Because I can't see how you could get to that level in that business if you were so stupid you were unaware of the mountains of scientific evidence that says these are real. Government reports. Look, the U.S. government has officially admitted in writing that UFOs are real and they exist. And then to have the news media say, well, we didn't know. I mean, you could not possibly be that stupid and have gotten to the top of the heap in network news.
No, I agree with you. It seems pretty obvious to me as well.
You know, I haven't met very many stupid people. I have met a few. I have met people who are ignorant of the facts, and to be ignorant of a fact is no crime unless you've chosen to keep yourself ignorant of the facts. But I, you know, I haven't met very many really stupid people, and certainly people that make it to the top of any industry, and that includes mainstream media, cannot have possibly gotten there by being stupid. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. I'll open up the telephone lines for a little bit and see if you have an interest in calling and talking with Jerry. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. My guest this evening is Jerry Wills, unannounced guest. And I did not know on Friday that Jerry was going to be with me on Monday because I did not know what was going to happen to me and Jerry. So, you know, there you go. It worked out like it worked out. All right, Jerry, you ready to take a few calls?
Absolutely. Let's go for it.
All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Ryan. How are you doing tonight?
I had a question for Jerry, but first I wanted to tell you about an experience that I had shortly after Jerry was last on. Now, incidentally, I tried to call that night, but I wasn't able to get through, but shortly after the show, my phone started acting really funny. I don't own an iPhone. It's a regular cell phone. But shortly after the show, suddenly my phone died without the battery was charged. So I said, okay, well, I tried to turn it back on. And then it started to the it was a setting for volume, you know, loud or soft or mild. That started going up and down, and it started to beep really loud. So I said, okay, well, let me try and call a friend. And I tried to call one of my friends, and the thing just wouldn't work. It's like my phone just totally seized up. What I noticed was it was trying to dial into, the network, you know, like the internet service. I never use that on this phone. I just use it to talk. And it was automatically trying to connect to internet service. So I said, cancel, cancel, and it wouldn't do anything. So I pulled out the battery, turned it back on, and it took at least 20 minutes to come back on. And when it did, it started to, somebody was there, the volume settings started changing on its own, like it was beeping. I was sitting there watching a baseball game, and all of a sudden my phone started making these weird beeping sounds. And so what this has never happened before. So it's just coincidental that all this.
Oh, I don't think so. Welcome to our world, bro.
But when I was listening to Jerry talk earlier about what happened to his phone, it sounds exactly the same, where it just wouldn't do anything. Like, it seized up. The battery was fully charged, and I took the battery out. I took the memory out, put it back in, and then as soon as I turned it back on, it started trying to dial into the network.
Yeah.
As if, yeah. So, I don't know. But, Jerry, the question was, you know, if you were to meet with the people that you met with as a child, you know, if they come back and you have a meeting with them, do you think they would be willing to come forward like you have? Maybe if you showed them that, you know, like 80% of the public thinks that we're not being told the truth about UFOs, and you know, I just don't think disclosure is going to happen in the government. I mean, if we take BP, for example, they won't act until it's too late. You know? So it's almost like something has to happen to force them to do it. It just seems like they're not going to do it on their own.
Okay, what about that, Jerry? You think they would come forward?
Well, I don't think that they would come forward, not because of any fear on their part, because it would be violating the concept that they had set in place for this time, you know, and unless they're invited forward, and I don't know what invited means, because I know for sure that, you know, like you said, 80% of the population, you know, they would invite, but I think that they would want to be very careful how they would disclose themselves, because immediately what would happen is the world would be looking to them and their superior technology to save this world, and that's what the real big rub is. It isn't whether or not they want to be friends or they want to, you know, let people know that they're here. I think it's pretty well known that they are, but they can't be responsible for cleaning up the messes of this world, and I believe what they're wanting to do is to see the people of this world clean up their own mess so that they finally show enough to where they could go and join everyone else out there. That's just my opinion on it. I can't say.
Oops. I tried to put another caller on hold, but as we heard, that call was he dropped, or she. All right, the telephone numbers, if you wish to call in, 623-444-5889. That's the main number. You can call from anywhere on planet Earth. If you're in the USA or Canada, you can call me toll-free if you need to at 888-223-4599. And if you're outside of the USA or Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for you, but I do have the Flash Message link on my website at kevinsmithshow.com. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
Jerry, I was I recently learned this coincidentally Friday about how there could be ETs but are still humans. And I was wondering if that's what you are.
I think so.
Okay, Kevin, you have another question?
Nope, that's all I wanted to know.
All right, thanks much. All right, 623-444-5889. In a little bit, Jerry, a little bit later in the show, I am going to share with you and our audience a great pearl of wisdom here about the epoch in which we are now living. I have named it the Air Mattress Epoch. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, Jerry, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Did you ever have a digital touch-tone phone go rotary on you?
I have not.
Dude, that's what mine did tonight.
Have I ever had a digital phone go rotary?
A touch-tone phone go rotary.
No.
They're not wanting me to ask this question, apparently, but... I listened to your broadcast on either, it was Wednesday or Thursday or something like that, but you were talking about one time when the Greys appeared to you in kind of a dream-like state as different people, and you woke up out of that. You woke up out of that into your fully aware state. My question is, are those the ones that they really have to fear?
Yes, exactly it is. I'll tell you how these gray guys work. And for all of the folks listening, you may find this fascinating. I don't know. I found it to be quite interesting. They have the ability, if they catch you with your eyes, in other words, you catch their gaze, absolutely immediately they have you under their spell. And as such, they can project into your mind what they want you to see. And they know all the ramifications of what you might want to see, and so they know how to posture what they're projecting so that it's okay with you. The reason it didn't work for me, and it never has, is because of the contacts that I had when I was in Kentucky during those 5 years. I don't know how it was done, but it was done, and they can't hold my mind for more than just a few minutes, and then it disconnects, and I can see them for who they are. But if you were to walk up and turn a corner, and one of them standing there, they could make themselves seem to be completely invisible to you. You wouldn't know they were there. Or they could make themselves look like a dog, or a person, or whatever. It could be innocuous, or it could be threatening. It's just whatever they decide to do. It's really quite an uncanny ability that they have. And these are the people to be afraid of, at least until you find out how to counter what they're doing. And, you know, I don't really have a valid solution for that at this time.
Okay, one more real quick question, if I could.
Oh?
Wouldn't your next contact birthday be September 11th, 2011, instead of 2012?
Well, it would be 10 years from 2001, so yeah, that would be. That's correct.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
All right, Brent, thanks. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Or if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use our flash message feature on my website. Go to kevinsmithshow.com and scroll down. You'll see where it says flash message. Just click that link, and you're good to go. Now, Jerry, tonight, because of what we're talking about, because I wanted people to get the full impact of it all, I made it so that everybody can watch our TV channel tonight, and so they can watch for free. If they just go to my website, the largest link on the page says you can watch for free. All right. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name is Leslie. I'm calling from Forest Grove, Oregon.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi. Well, I'm kind of calling on behalf of everyone in the chat room right now. And firstly, I want to say that, thank you, Jerry, for sharing your story with us. We were wondering, you had mentioned there was a talk show host that you had healed some, I think it was like radiation burns. Could you tell us who that is or give any more detail on that?
Well, as it is with the people that I work with, I really don't disclose who it is.
Oh, okay.
It would be up to that person to disclose that and to discuss it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what we were wondering, and thank you so much for taking my phone call.
And tell all the other chickens in the chat room, they have fingers and phones, too.
I will.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for the call. All right, 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. And to the telephone, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening to two of my favorite gentlemen in the world.
Well, good evening.
It's Terry from Lyle.
Hello, Terry.
Hello, hi, Terry.
Hi. That's very interesting what's going on here. Thing I have to, ask Jerry is, and, me and Kevin's talked about quite a bit, is that, we're so sucked into this, and they got all the nice toys and everything, and, we got to take back our own world. I mean, how are we going to do that, mentally or physically? I mean, there's only two ways about it.
Well, okay, good question, and actually it's an excellent question because it opens the door to a lot of possibility. The way that you take your world back is by claiming it as yours, and instead of being a bystander, instead of being an observer, become a participant in the maintenance of this world. The way that you do that is to realize that the divine lives within you. You're either at the whims of creation or you're part of the process of it. And if you want to take back this world, if you want the equation knowledge equals freedom to really ring true in your life, then what you need to do is to develop that ability that each person has to use the energy, the divine spark that runs through you, to manifest those changes in a way that causes the outcome to be favorable instead of this disjointed world that we live in right now. You know, when I'm working on someone and they have a heart condition or a tumor or a broken bone or something, and I'm focusing the energy down and I'm changing matter and I'm bringing it to a different state of being, that's no different than what everyone out there can do to just get a clear idea of what they want this world to be, focus in that direction, and then manifest it into reality. There have been studies done on this, and it's proven to be quite a valid thing. You just get enough people looking in the same direction saying, that's enough, this is what we expect, and they bring it about. You know, the greater the opposition, then the greater the numbers of people there need to be in order to manifest that change. But the change can be manifest. It's your divine right to do this. But it's what's being figured as people are going to sit back and watch everyone else do it, and that's not going to work.
Yeah. So thanks.
That's my answer.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Terry. All right, we have a flash message here from Bob in Australia, and caller, if you will, just hang on just one moment. Bob in Australia says, hi, Kevin and Jerry, could HARP have destroyed that tube that easy? All the best, guys. Take care. You said this was a number of years ago. Was Harp even around when that tube burst into flames?
No, actually, I don't think it was. This was back in the, it was like the mid-70s. I was in North Platte, Nebraska. And there had been a series of cattle mutilations and some very high strangeness going on in the sandhills out in the areas around North Platte. And they were looking for someone to put on the radio to talk about UFOs. And I was the only one in town who was, you know, of that genre. So I got to be on that show.
Yeah, for a little while.
Not hard. Yeah. 5 minutes.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. It's Perry from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hello, Perry.
Hi.
Hi, Perry.
Hey, Jerry. Leslie took my question right out of my mouth earlier, and I was, after she asked you, I was going to just, you know, listen the rest of the show. But then your last caller that you spoke to, I feel like asking you more questions about that very topic you were talking about in a way that, like, how can individuals who may be not, they may be less than a layman when it comes to doing that focus and intention type thing. What kind of advice can you give them on where to go to learn how to do that, to follow through with their intention and cause change to occur in conformity with will?
Well, I realize the dynamic nature of the layman and how sometimes the desire to do something is overshadowed by the intellectual curiosity that would say, oh, it must be this or that. I can tell you very simply what it is and how it's done. Putting it into practice is a bit more complicated. In a very, very brief statement, it's not about thinking. It's not about pushing a rope. It's about breathing and allowing and being alive and putting your direction emotionally in alignment with others. There are people out there who teach this sort of thing. Those people who are very good at it most likely are from places that are far removed from this world, and they're walking among you and they're trying to teach you how to do things, and they're giving it the guise of greater spirituality or greater awareness this way or that. If you can get beyond the metaphor and get directly into the practice, then you can learn a number of things. There isn't any one particular way that is the absolute way, and that's the magic of it, because there are so many different people. There are basically 1,000 different ways of breathing and directing your thoughts. I teach a class called Mechanics of Consciousness. There are other people who teach their own classes on how to achieve a much greater or more heightened level of awareness, which is what you're wanting. I would say seek them out. You know, start feeding your mind. If this is what you're wanting to do, if this is how you see yourself progressing, then if you think it, if you can imagine it, you can be it. If you think it, you can do it. It's not difficult. It's not pushing a rope. It's not intellectual. It is simply taking a deep breath and just being in this moment and just being in such a place that you can will something to occur.
Let me jump in and say something here, and Jerry, you may disagree with this, but I would add to it. You know, you don't have to be an ocean, be a drop. And enough drops make an ocean.
Exactly.
Yes, I would very much like to kind of tune my energy so that I'm doing more positive work rather than pointing out all the negativities, which I've been so very good at doing up till now. But there's a lot of people singing that tune now, and I think right now I need to, go on to the next higher level Yeah, I'm actually working on some. Maybe I'll get a hold of you, Jerry, about that at a later time. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you for the call.
Excellent. 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 All right. I want to get to this flash message from Ross in the United Kingdom. And, caller, if you'll hang on just a moment. And, in fact, caller, are you willing to hang on several moments? Because it'll probably go past the next break. Are you willing to hang in there?
Yes.
All right. Ross in the United Kingdom says, I seem to remember about 15 years ago the computer chip makers were talking about some sort of new antivirus instructions included in the actual CPU chip. I can recall that they were proposing features that could also snoop on what you're running and also some piracy self-destruct thing that could render the computer technically working but unbootable to a point. Maybe something similar has been incorporated into today's CPU chips, and maybe it was activated in Kevin's computer or Jerry's phone. Quite possibly. Quite possibly. I know for sure there is one particular computer maker, very, very popular, very popular brand, and every key you push is being logged and sent somewhere. How about that? It's got a key logger built into it, hardwired into it, and nobody knows who's getting it. Where is it going? And they're, this computer brand is very, very popular. And lots of people have it. Ross, you may be onto something there. All right. Apple. Do what?
I bet it's not an Apple, is it?
It is not Apple. That's true. It is not Apple. Caller, you hang in there, and we'll be back right after this break, and we'll take you first up. Don't go away, folks. It gets better. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Jerry, let's go straight to the telephone line. Caller, thanks for holding for so long. If you will, tell us your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Rusty from Michigan, and the wait was worth the while.
All right. Thanks, Rusty.
All right. Well, hello, Jerry, and hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Jerry, I caught your show live that you put on from, I think it was New York the other day, Thursday or Friday.
Right, it's from Chappaqua, just outside of New York.
Okay. And but you said something during that show that I don't know why I thought of this, but it just wondered if you had considered it. You was talking about birth records, and you had talked about how your birth record was not kind of filled in some places and things like that. Okay, now, let's go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was saying
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, but what that made me think of is someone like all this controversy surrounding Barack Obama.
Okay. That look, I'm going to tell you something. That's going to be both legal in the courts and political if it ever gains headway. And because of that, I want to steer clear of discussion of Barack Obama. And because the issue with him is not, is he an extraterrestrial?
Okay, well, that's what I was kind of going to, you know, that's what I was going to tie it to. But, all right. That's...
Yeah, that's going to be a different issue. And while it's very interesting, it's outside the parameters of our genre, so let's steer clear of that.
Okay. Well, I had immediately tied it to the UFO and alien phenomena, using that word as well, you know how I'm using it, and because Jerry had mentioned that about himself, you know, and I think the indication was because he was from off planet, that's the reason his birth certificate was not that way. But okay, Kevin, that's fine.
Yeah, but in the case of Barack Obama, the whole thing about birth certificates has it's already been in courts, and it's already flooded into the political arena to the point that it is a political issue. It may die there, it may go forward, I don't know, but we'll leave it for them in the political arena to figure out. But thanks for the call, Rusty. 623-444-5889 is the main number here in our studio, and we would love to hear from you from anywhere on this planet or any other planet where that number happens to work. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan in Quebec City, Kevin and Jerry. How are you guys?
Doing good, Stefan. How are you?
Doing great. Actually, my question to Jerry is, Jerry, there's a lot of people in my neck of the woods here up in northern, southern Canada, Quebec City, that are talking about ascension, and like it's almost becoming an obsession around here. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I know there's a lot of talk about this. I'm not particularly in the frame of mind to think that everyone's going to change into light and suddenly go off, you know, into whatever. But I do believe that the light coming from the center of the galaxy is going to affect us at a DNA level, and it's going to allow for us to see things more clearly because we'll have a lot more of that energy flooding through our system, both our bodies and our planet. And it will, I think it will, anyway, I can't say for sure that it will, but I believe that it will cause a bit of an awakening. And that may be what the ascension is all about in reality that everyone is speaking of.
Do you feel it might be connected in any way to the biblical version of rapture?
Well, you know, maybe, but I don't have a lot of information about that in particular.
All right.
I just don't know.
All right. Well, thank you for your opinion, and thank you very much for the great show, both of you, and looking forward to hearing the rest.
All right, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 if you wish to talk with Mr. Jerry Wills or myself, and we would love to hear from you. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, this is Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, Kevin. I always knew I really liked your show, but until you had all these aliens on your show, I never really realized why.
Well, yeah, thank you. You've heard me say, if you guys ever run into an alien, try to get him to let me interview him, because I want to interview an extraterrestrial. And so, you know, my dreams came true.
Hey, Jerry, I got a question for you. Kevin,
sure.
Flip, that you've been spending a little bit of time with Ingo in New York. Could you tell us a little bit more about what you guys are up to?
Well, you know, Ingo and I have become friends over the past over this past year, and we basically just I go over there to see him because he's a recluse. He doesn't get out anymore, and so I go over to see him and visit and just hang out with him and. We have our conversations, and it's very interesting. I really can't divulge the nature of the conversation because he's a very private person, and I don't think he'd appreciate me talking about it much. But I can tell you that one of the first things out of his mouth was the laughter when he stood up and shook my hand and gave me a hug, and he says, "I know where you're from. You can't fool me." And he said,
"Isn't that interesting, Jerry? We just lost your audio."
I'm still here, Kevin. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Is that weird, Tony?
Yeah, I know.
And
I thought you hung up on me.
How about that? His phone has gone dead. You heard it beep, buzz there. Now, folks, you have to understand that you've just got to understand that Tony and me and Jerry are all tied together on the same equipment. It's not an equipment failure here, all right? It's simply not. Tony, you want to hang on? We'll see if we can get him back.
Okay.
All right. Are you back with us, Jerry?
I am. As I was saying before we all got cut off.
We didn't all get cut off. Just you.
No, was it me?
Yeah, it was you. Me and Tony never stopped talking.
Oh, well, okay. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Jerry. I got one more question for you, Jerry, and then I want to open up the phone for someone else.
Of course.
There's a lot of people trying to get in. A personal friend of mine, Mike from Kentucky, would really like you and Kevin to come in after the show to the chat room. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, we'll see. It depends on how busy things are here after the show. We'll see. And thanks for the invitation. I enjoyed dropping into the chat room, but I never know until we start trying to do the post-production. If everything went as it was supposed to during the show, then it's not hairy, and I can do it. If things didn't go well, and it's a hairy post-production job, then I have to get with it, and I can't go in the chat room. I'm too busy. 623-444-5889, or in the USA and Canada, toll-free at 888-223-4599. Jerry, I told you that I was going to explain why I have named the times in which we live the air mattress epoch. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm ready.
Okay. I've deactivated the incoming phone lines for just a moment so that I can tell this. Now, if you take an air mattress, you know, not one of the little ones like you use at the pool, but an air mattress like you would put on the floor if too many guests show up, okay?
Right.
And you start to blow it up. Now, most people have an electric pump that blows it up for them, but we'll say you don't. And so you're going to blow it up with lung power. When you first start, there's absolutely no resistance. Now, you're blowing air into a finite area. It has boundaries. But when you first start, it's so empty that there's no resistance, and you can literally blow yourself dizzy. You can get dizzy from blowing too much air too long into this air mattress if you do it too fast. And there's no resistance, and when you first start, you don't even see the mattress move from the air going in.
Right.
But if you keep at it, you keep blowing your breath into this air mattress, after a little bit, you see it begin to move. It begins to puff out a little bit. When it starts doing that, the time it takes from when you first start blowing into it till it starts to move and puff up just a little bit, that amount of time is much longer than from when it first starts to puff up until it's fully inflated. Plus, the more air you put in, the more resistance there is. At the end, when it's really inflated, you can hardly blow any more air into it. And you're getting a lot of resistance back, and what you're getting is your own breath back. That's the resistance. But if you were to continue to blow into it, you would eventually burst the boundaries. It would explode. Now, we're living in the air mattress era, and we've been blowing these ideas and this information about UFOs and extraterrestrials into a finite but large area called human consciousness, the human minds worldwide. And when we start getting resistance, it's because the boundaries are getting full of the ideas that we're blowing into them. Does that make sense?
It does.
And so I hear people talk about, well, you know, I don't know why there's so much resistance. That's a good sign. It means we're winning. And the more we reach the end of the journey, the more resistance there will be. It will not get easier. It will get harder for those of us blowing these ideas into the human consciousness. Because the resistance, we're filling up the human consciousness. It's pushing out those who don't want those ideas. And so that's where this resistance is coming from. If we continue, though, we're going to see the boundaries burst. These guys are about to lose. That's why the resistance is against us is so intense. These guys are about to lose, and they're about to take it in the shorts, and they know it. We'll be back right after this. We are back, and Jerry, I've got a flash message here. Well, first, let me get your ideas, your comments on what I said. These guys are about to take it in the shorts, and they know it, and that's why we're having this resistance.
Well, I agree with you 100%. It's a brilliant way of looking at things, Kevin, and it makes 100% sense to me.
All right. And by the way, whenever they take it in the shorts, I'm going to be there to ask them the same stupid question they asked me. You wearing boxers or briefs? All right. This is from Leonardo, and he's in Puerto Rico. He says, "Hi, Kevin. Good show tonight. Sometime back, I was listening to your show, and as I listened, I played solitaire. I made a move that practically screwed my game, and on that instant moment, I heard in the background a couple of disappointed sounds like what you would hear in a TV game show when people lose. Now, that really caught my attention. I never mentioned it before until I heard the problem you had with your phones. By the way, is the computer I have a micro suave? I'm not sure what that means, Leonardo. If it's something good, then I will assure you that your computer is. If it's something bad, then I will tell you I don't think so. But I'm not a psychic, so I don't know. We have time for one quick call. If you've been wanting to call in, we are on final approach, and that means we only have a few minutes left. But if you have been wanting to call and couldn't get through, now's the time. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. But you have to call right now because we'll be out of time. Jerry, any observations you would like to make based on all this stuff we've been talking about?
Well, you know, I've been giving it some thought. Kathy has been listening to this, and there is one thing that she mentioned to me that I think is important to mention to everyone.
Okay.
When you think about how to get to that point where you can actually be effective at making a change, start pushing it forward so that you can bring about and manifest what you want, it's not that difficult, as I mentioned. And the thing to remember is that the universe was created with just one pure thought. The earth was created and brought forward with one word. So it isn't a hard thing to bring about change. What's difficult is to have the courage to do it.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But I would add to that, people give up too soon. They're blowing into the air mattress and they're not seeing results. You don't have to see results. It's happening. And you just keep doing it, and then you will eventually, you will see the air mattress begins to move. When it begins to move, you're almost finished. The instant you see the air mattress looking like it's beginning to inflate, you're 80% there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And then just remember, though, that it gets tougher. From that point forward, as you are being more successful, it gets tougher. And tough is okay. Okay? The universe really won't put more on you than you can handle. And so whatever tough comes your way, you got to understand you're tougher than that. And just keep doing what you're doing, and you win. You just win. That's all. And by the way, Jerry, you know, we wake up every single day as winners. Every day when you wake up, you're a winner, because you could have died last night and you didn't. So when you woke up this morning, you won. So you start out as a winner, and you get to decide how you end the day.
Good observation, Kevin.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. Your $20 is in the mail.
Absolutely.
Jerry, you have a newsletter that you send to people, and we have a few minutes here. We really didn't do this when you were on Friday, so let's do it now. Tell us what your newsletter is about, and how can people get it? Where do they go sign up for it?
The newsletter is called the Expeditions Newsletter. It is about the journey, really, all kinds of things. For example, the latest ones I sent out were about broadcasts that were taking place at Star Visions in Chappaqua, New York. I set up a broadcast studio there for Helen, the gal who owns the place. But it also incorporates stories about healing techniques, about how to develop your personal abilities, stories from the road when we're down in South America looking for lost cities, just a whole variety of things, really. There isn't any one particular subject that's just a solid, it's always the same thing. No, it's always different, really. To get the newsletter, I invite everyone to go to one of our websites. You can either go to jerrywills.com, that's jerrywills.com, or to expeditionstv.com, that's spelled in X, so it's expeditionstv.com, and in either of these two places, you're going to see a link that says join the Expeditions newsletter. Just fill in your email address, click submit, and you're well on your way to receiving updates of where we are as we're traveling and what's going on and, well, anything that I think might be interesting for the folks who are on the newsletter. We have a worldwide subscription base, just like the Kevin Smith Show. We reach all corners of the world. And I'd like to include you, listeners, as part of our unique circle of friends. So please feel free to join.
There's no cost for this, right?
No, it's free. Mm-hmm. It's like Expeditions TV. All the videos there. Expeditions TV is free. So it's a free thing.
Very good. All right, what's next? Where are you guys, and you have to do this real quick. We've got about a minute or so here. Where are you guys headed next on your expeditions?
Well, I thought we'd head down to Washington, D.C., and then from there over to Virginia.
Well, Washington, D.C. is a lost city, that's for sure.
I know. That's why we were going to go, see if we can discover if there's any truth there. we have a litany of folks who want me to drop by throughout the United States, and we're in the suburban, so we're cruising around. If any of the listeners have a group that you want to put together and have us drop by, send me an email, and we'll see if we can work it into our schedule. We're going to be all over the map, all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast, and we just found out we may be going up towards Vancouver. Who knows? So all over the map. That's what's ahead for us, and finally we'll get back home and collapse.
There you go. There you go. And back home for you, of course, is in the Phoenix, Arizona area. I understand it was 116 degrees there today, so that's something for you to look forward to.
Well, we're not going to be staying in Phoenix for much longer, I don't think.
Are you going to migrate?
Thinking about it, you know, what we wanted to do is try to find an RV, like a 38-footer, and actually just live in the RV because we're going everywhere all the time, so it just makes sense. But we've been looking and looking, and it isn't an easy thing to find one in the price point that we're looking. So, you know, it's just a journey all in of itself. But
well,
if we don't do the RV, then we may head over to, there's some nice areas in Texas. We like Texas, and there's nice areas in Colorado, and well, there's just all kinds of nice areas out there.
That's true.
So who knows where we'll end up.
Well, Jerry, I want to thank you for being with me tonight, and we're out of time, but if you will, just stay on the phone with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.